The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
To It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. I'm Jennifer Elise Feldman. I'm here with a very, very special man, our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
Hello, fun seekers.
And Hassan Godwin, is he on the line? He's not on the line. Well, I was trying to be optimistic, so it's just me and Charlie here, or Charlie and I, anyway. So here we go. Charlie, anything you want to say before we get the show started? Anything on your mind?
Yes, I am very impressed with Mark. He didn't call me 8,000 times to make sure I was going to make the show.
Oh, yeah. You know, I almost called him on my way here, and I figured, you know what? Let's have a little fun here. Let's see who shows up.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was going to be you or Francis Bonet. Anyhow, I'd be happy to see either of you, but I was delighted to see you. Anyway, so let's get the show started, shall we?
Sure.
All right, we shall. On this week's show, at the Long Island Convention of Horror, in two separate interviews, Charlie interviews filmmakers Jamie Root and Allison Patel, as well as Liana P. Friedman, and I interview artist and author Dave Letterfly Norderer. But before we do that, we gotta take it away with the news.
It's morphin' time!
And the news is brought to you in part by sci-fi.radio. That's sci-fi.
For your Wi-Fi.
As well as the Big Apple Con, of which we are the official radio show celebrating 29 years of pop culture-ness and comic book stuff. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. Their next convention is scheduled for November 21st, and tickets are not on sale now. Also, we want to give a shout-out to our Patreons, of which there are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Burrell, Newsday Famous Dresden Media, Shadow Rabbit Art, Yasmin Ray, The Huracan, and Millie Portez. If you want your own shout-out, go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio, and on there you'll find a button that'll take you right to our Patreon page. Also, on It Came From the Radio website is Mark's comic book, Designated, which is about two warring alien races fighting over a newly discovered power source. The war finds its way to Earth, and some humans gain abilities as a result. Issue 1 is on sale now, and issue 2 is coming out next month. Also, at the East Meadow Public Library on April 8th, we're going to have our 103rd live show with comic book creator Kristen Gudsnick, I'm sorry if I butchered her name, as our guest. Sorry. She will be raffling off a copy of her newest book and will be giving away free passes to the CradleCon. For more information, go to www.eastmeadow.info. As always, we start off with the sad news. Newscaster and anchor Ernie Anastos died recently from pneumonia. At one point in his career, Ernie anchored on 4 New York networks, ABC, CBS, Fox, and UPN. Of note, he was also a children's author and host of his own nationally syndicated TV show, Positively America. And in 2017, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, my favorite, honored Anastos by designating every March 21st to be Ernie Anastos Day. He was 82.
I knew him. I worked with him.
Uh-huh.
He was amazing. He was a gentleman's gentleman, the nicest guy in the world. And everybody loved him. Everybody
including de Blasio.
No.
Well, yes, de Blasio loved him, too, because he honored him.
Yeah.
That's a big honor. You know?
I don't count that.
I want to be honored by de Blasio, but that's another story.
Yeah.
I would love to be honored by de Blasio.
Anyway, my mother loved him, and I told him, my mom loves you. He stopped what he was doing, did an autograph picture to my mom. He was
super nice.
He was great. He was a good guy. I miss him.
What was one of your favorite things about him?
You know, I love nice people, and
yeah.
I love just, you know, just being nice and talking, very personable. Mm-hmm. And he was just an all-around nice guy. I mean, the first time I met him, I got a big hello from him. And he knew I worked there, and he was just, it was one of the people who worked with him. So, and just, it's very sad. I was very sad when I heard that news.
Well, like attracts like, and you are certainly a very nice and a very personable guy, and you're a delight to talk to, and I'm so glad that we met by chance.
Oh, my
so,
God.
So, you know, of course you're going to be attracted to people who are also a delight.
Yeah, and ditto with you.
Oh, thank you.
It was like, I was so glad our boss asked you to be on the show with us. That was a shock to me.
Yeah. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. And I was just listening to something about love bombing on the way here. I'm not really into love bombing, but it's just on my mind. All right. Last bit of sad news. Actor Nicholas Brendon also died recently. He actually died in his sleep. Well, Nicholas was in a handful of movies and TV shows. He's perhaps best known for his role as Kevin Lynch in 21 episodes of the CBS series Criminal Minds, and of course as Xander Harris, all 144 episodes of the series Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which ran from 1997 to 2003. Of note, Nicholas has an identical twin brother. He was 54.
Wow. That's scary. That's
54.
And again, another good actor, I mean, I remember hearing about that, and Sarah, what's her name, Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Yes.
One played Buffy, did such a wonderful tribute to him.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so. 54, and do they know, he died in his sleep, are there any rumors?
I don't know, that's like scary to me, 54.
Yeah.
I mean, what causes that, you know?
Well, you know, there's a lot of speculations, but this isn't the show for those type of speculations. Mark
this
probably wouldn't
nice
want that. But if I was running the show, as I, you know, this would be a totally different show. We go off on a tangent, but I'm going to go on a quick tangent. I was supposed to be acting today.
Oh, my God.
And I actually didn't want to really do it, but that's a different part. But my co-star died. My co-star also died suddenly. And he's younger than 54. I don't know his exact age, but... Yeah, there's a lot of people dying suddenly.
Wow.
So RIP. I don't have all the answers, but someone hopefully will get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, let's get away from the sadness.
Yeah. So we're gonna take a quick break, and we're gonna be right back with more. It came from the radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com.
Comic Books for Kids is the largest charity in the U.S. for comic books, toys, and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. Donations of toys, books, action figures, Funko Pops, or anything pop culture related can be made to this organization. Find them at cb4k.org.
Hi, this is Amy Jo Johnson, writer-director from the film The Space Between, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
BKG Productions, LLC, your ultimate audio transformation partner. Got audio that needs a magic touch? I am here to elevate your content. Specializing in professional audio editing, I can clean up background noise, plosives, and pesky S sounds. From podcasts to songs, I've got you covered. Whether it's an interview, music track, setting volumes to precise specs, email bkgvobiz@gmail.com. Or go to fiverr.com, search for BK Graves 1, and trust me to make your sound sparkle.
Sword of Omens, come to my hand. I, Lion-O, command it. Hi, everybody. This is Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O on Thundercats. And you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
This is Carrie Steller from In the Girls' Corner, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Step into the fantastic world of cool kids' comics and toys at 2055 Hempstead Turnpike, East Meadow, New York. Discover Comic-Con exclusives, the latest Funko Pops, and a treasure trove of new and vintage toys and comics. Whether you're a collector or a first-time visitor, we got something to spark your imagination over here. Visit Cool Kids Comics and Toys today. Let your adventure begin, huh?
Hi, I'm Alina Watko. I play Hyrel on Star Trek Discovery, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
All right, and back to the show with Charlie. Charlie Saladino is here. How you doing, Charlie?
Oh, I'm doing much better, Dad. I'm sitting across from you.
All right, so let's get into it. We have some not-so-sad news. Let's start with CradleCon. You've been to CradleCon. We had a lot of fun there. Yeah. And CradleCon returns to the Cradle of Aviation Museum May 16th and 17th. This year features a G.I. Joe reunion with Larry Hama, plus the Crow creator James O'Barr, comics, cosplay, retro gaming, and more, all supporting the museum's education programs. Tickets are at cradleofaviation.org. And you are listening to It Came From the Radio, and again, we are with Charlie. You know what? I got to just take a quick note and just acknowledge this. I have notes from Mark right here. And in the script, without any type of designation that it's separate, it says, take a pause and then say. So I'm all befuddled here. So if I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm reading a script, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Well, Mark's going to love that. All right. Let's go back to the show. and then it says, and then say. So now let's do the regular news. Pause. From the, then point to Brian, and he will play the next clip. From the That's a Lot of Nuts department. Okay, enough with the nonsense. Let's try to leave all the fourth wall. We're going to stop breaking the fourth wall and go back to the radio show. All right. The new sci-fi film project, Hail Mary, has taken the number one spot in the domestic box office, pulling in $80.5 million in ticket sales in its first week of release, beating out the new animated film Hoppers, which came in at the number two spot, making an additional $17.8 million in its second week of release. For those of you keeping track, I'm definitely not. Avatar is still the highest grossing film of this year with $403.8 million, of which $153.5 million was this year, followed by an aforementioned Hoppers with $120.1 million.
Well, I know two people who saw Hail Mary like yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And they came out. They said it was fabulous.
And what did they say about it? What was so fabulous?
That they paid that much money and they loved it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't see the movie. I have no idea what it's about, but...
I'm going to have to call Hail Mary for this radio show. Hail Mary! Somebody help me! Yeah. Somebody help me!
You throw the script up in the air, and then Hail Mary, hope it comes down and
you know
makes
what?
Sense.
For anyone who wants to write in or call in, I'm really curious. As I was driving here, I was wondering which listeners... I really want to know how much money every movie is making every week. I want to know.
Yeah.
Who cares? Who doesn't? Someone
that's
cares.
My favorite line when they said this movie made $80 million. And I'm thinking I'm not getting any of that. So, you know, why should I care?
Well, please, I am begging you. I'm even going to put my email in here. You can personally email me, jfeldy.be, like to be or not to be, .healthy@gmail.com, jfeldy.be.healthy. And please tell me, what do you think about finding out how much money each movie is making? All right, next, moving on. The Oscars have come and gone, but more importantly, that means that the Razzies have also been given out. So this year's clear-cut winner is War of the Worlds with 5 awards. Worst Picture, Director, Actor, Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel, and Worst Screenplay. Of note, the movie was nominated for 6 Razzies, but wound up losing to all 7 dwarfs for the Worst Screen Combo. War of the Worlds was Ice Cube and his Zoom camera. So Razzies, did you check it out?
No, I don't, but Mark usually has a full rundown of who won, and usually the Razzies are... for really terrible movies, but that sort of boosts their reputation.
I would love to get a Razzie.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man.
I would like okay, what would you like? What would you prefer? A Razzie or a Golden Globe?
Depends on what I was going for.
Okay, you're an actor. You're a lead actor in the remake of Titanic.
Yeah.
They do Titanic 2.
Titanic 2,
and you
too, yeah.
play Leo's character.
The search for more
So what
money.
Do you want, a Razzie? You want
yeah,
a Golden
Leo,
Globe?
Leo comes back to the surface. And
As
says,
you.
Where did she go?
No, you're the new star. Yeah.
Well, I would... You know what they say, Jen?
What?
Bad press is good press. What is that saying?
I thought it was
saying?
You can't turn home to a housewife.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they say? You know what they say? No.
I think, yes.
Okay. So which one is it? You want a Razzie?
Because any mention is good mention.
Not a Golden Globe? Yeah, pick one.
If I wanted more money and I've wanted prestige, I'd go with the Golden Globe.
All right, I'll give you prestige, Charlie. I'll give you prestige.
Thanks.
All right, now from the It's Not a Done Deal Until It Airs department, none other than actress Sarah Michelle Gellar has announced via Twitter, or X, the show is very old school, that the new Buffy series is no longer in development. Sarah says, no one saw this coming, including the head of Searchlight. I got the call as we were stepping onto stage for the premiere of their own movie. And it's also the weekend of Chloe going to the Oscars as a Best Director nominee for Hamnet. For them to call us on the Friday of what should have been Chloe's victory lap for an incredible film and my world premiere of something that I work very hard for is, well, that says something. We had an executive on our show who was not only not a fan of the original, but was proud to constantly remind us that he had never seen the entirety of the series and how it wasn't for him. Wow. That's very hard when you're taking a property. This is Morris Amherst Geller. That's very hard when you're taking a property that is as beloved as Buffy, not just to the world, but to me and Chloe. So that tells you the uphill battle that we've been fighting since day one. When your executive is literally proud to tell you that he didn't watch it. What would you, oh, I mean, I'm an actor, so I have feelings on this. But again, I'm going to throw it back to you as you're going to be the new Leonardo DiCaprio, okay? So Charles Saldino's in studio, and now you're going to be, just pretend you're Leo DiCaprio. And you're in this series with Sarah Michelle Gellar. How do you feel? Your director, your executives don't even really care about the show.
I would feel like, I am so glad not to be a part of this now. If the executive feels like this, what could he do to us down the road? Mm-hmm. You know? I'm glad it didn't get off the thing only to disappoint us later.
Mm.
And then I would go and take a Louisville Slugger and beat the living crap out of the executive. No, I wouldn't do that.
Well, actually, related notion. You know, sometimes they say, you know, they don't want you to study or they don't want you to study with other teachers because then you come in with preconceived notions. No, I can't make that fit here. I'm trying to be devil's advocate. I can't. Yeah. So therefore, really the only solution, if I was part of this as an actor or makeup artist or really at all, I would kidnap the executive and then I would sit him down and I'd get him really high. I'm marijuana, you know, nothing too scary.
Nothing,
and I'd make him watch the whole Buffy series and make sure he saw everything.
That's good that you use marijuana because then he won't get glaucoma watching the series.
Right, and also if he's nauseous, then he won't be nauseous. And, you know, if some scenes are kind of scary. Some people get nauseous when they're too scared. So,
well,
then, you know, he wouldn't get nauseous.
You got to remember something. People like who said Cheers wasn't going to Channel 7. Who said Cheers wasn't going to make it. We got to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Let's take it off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Channel 4 saw that and said, what are you crazy? And they took it. They had a big hit with Cheers.
Hmm.
Yeah. And
sometimes I like to go where nobody knows my name. That's my theme song. Sometimes I like to go where nobody knows my name.
Yeah, I went to that place in Boston. Nobody knew my name.
Isn't it kind of great, though?
Yeah.
Right, because when everyone knows
it's
how you doing?
Everybody knows my name.
Where do you go where everyone knows your name?
Oh my God!
Everywhere, right? You're known.
Where do I go where everybody knows my family's house?
Your family's house.
Yeah. Go in there. They go, hey. Yeah. No, I had a bar back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Escape Inn.
Okay.
And we were the house band for that bar. When we would go there during the week, that was like you walk in and everybody was like, hey. And no matter how crowded it was, everyone at that bar knew our names. So that was Escape Inn. It's no longer there.
Anyway, let's move on from the Guess I'll Just Buy AI Instead department. None other than Netflix has withdrawn their bid for Warner Brothers due to the hullabaloo with Paramount Pictures also wanting to buy the company and instead use that money to buy Ben Affleck's AI company named Interpositive. Apparently, that comes with Ben as a senior advisor as well as the entire company's team. Ben Affleck says, in 2022, I spent a lot of time observing the early rise of AI in production. For artists to apply these tools toward telling the stories we dedicate our lives to, they need to be purpose-built to represent and protect all the qualities that make a great story. These tools deliberately avoid replicating performances. Instead, they focus on techniques that help directors and editors maintain narrative continuity with lighting adjustments and scene continuity while protecting artistic control. Wow. So the Warner Brothers thing is not going through, this whole thing that's been talked about, and I've been getting texts about from different actors said, oh, well, because I've been kind of down on the whole, and if you listen to the show at all, the whole acting thing, and I say that a lot of actors should consider. Thank you, I got the warning. Thank you.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I'm having like a light in my face. 5 minutes, I got it. All right, so you know, a lot of actors. If I had a son or a daughter, and let's say they wanted to raise a family, I'm sorry, but I would tell them don't put all of your eggs into one basket on acting, because acting already is, and it's I think is going to become. For most people, probably for 99.99% of actors, they're it's just gonna be like any other job, and you'll get paid maybe a wage that you'd make at the grocery store or waiting tables at an average restaurant, not a top restaurant.
You're absolutely right.
So I was saying this, you know, because there's a lot of actors I'm around, and a lot of them still have the rose-colored glasses on, which that hope is going to lead to your downfall. Like hope. It's the whole basis of disappointment. So I try to get rid of people's hope if I think that it's going to lead them down the wrong road and wasting thousands of dollars and wasting years of their life. So you can still do acting for fun and all that, but I'm like, how many roles are there going to be, especially when Sony and all these big companies that were making, you know, 30 movies a year, 20-something movies a year, some of them are making in the single-digit movies a year. So if you're only making like 8 movies a year, how many actors are you going to hire? So that breaks it down for anyone listening. Who's not really in the business. So I got a text back from someone who's put a lot of money into acting, and she said, oh, well, you know, Warner Brothers might buy up Netflix, but according to this, Warner Brothers, that deal is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, all these star-eyed actors, I think, are going to be like, okay, reality check as of today. What's today's date? March 29th, 2026. So now there's an AI company, Ben Affleck's AI company, Interpositive, is going to be bought by Netflix? I'm sorry, my brain is broken. That's why I'm rereading this. I can't believe it.
You know what? Am I the only one with this analogy that this AI, my analogy is, it's a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how the demons help you in the beginning on the Ouija board?
Okay, sure.
And then they take over and cripple your soul?
Right.
Well, that's what I think AI is going to be doing. It's all nice, and someday it's going to be in charge of all the global nuclear weapons and annihilate us.
Right, right. I mean, AI would do a better job than some people at some tasks, because some people are just virtually worthless. No, everyone has worth. Everyone is a special snowflake.
But only in this situation, just saying. I understand.
Right. But also, so when you say it's going to end everything, you mean actors? Is that what you're referring to?
I mean life itself.
You mean life itself.
I mean life itself,
okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think it's going to get to the point where they're not going to be able to control it, because when they try to shut something down, it's going to sense that and it's going to fix it.
Interesting.
Yeah, just watch Colossus, the Forbin Project.
Well, it's definitely going to be probably shutting down people's bank accounts and people's cars that are drunk. So I think the bank account freezes. I can't imagine that not happening. And on some beneficial level, my final thought would be that, hey, if you're a criminal and you're committing all these fines, maybe I don't want you on the road. So maybe I do want AI prohibiting you from driving.
Right.
So that's one good side effect, is that, you know, it'll keep some people off the road. So, Charlie, final thought. We're going to end the show.
Just thank you for being across the table from me, number one. And just be nice to everybody. Costs nothing.
Be nice. All right. Well, for everyone listening to us live on air, we will see you next week. And for everyone else, stay tuned for more It Came From the Radio.
Hey, this is Billy West from Show Business. You're listening to It Came From the Radio. Get out. Get out.
Looking to upgrade your outdoor space? Rare Products NY has you covered. Our universal pergolas are modern, durable aluminum structures designed to withstand the elements while adding style and value. Enjoy all weather protection with adjustable louvers and glass options. Stay cozy in the winter with modernized screens and enclosures. Create a luxury ambiance with built-in LED lighting. And give your home or business a modern look that keeps guests coming back. For your on-site evaluation, call 516-225-8271. Email rareproductsny@gmail.com or visit rareproductsny.com. Rare Products NY. We've got you covered.
Hi, I'm Olivia Youngers from Star Trek Picard, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From the Radio. I'm here at LICH, Long Island Convention of Horror. And I am here with actress Liana.
Hi, I'm Liana Paralia Friedman, and we're here at the Long Island Horror Convention, and I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, and thank you for helping me with that last name. And the G is silent. And she is a multi-talented actress, and she's in a movie called Stream, and she is going to talk to us about it right now.
Yes, so I was in the movie Stream. It's part of a new franchise, and it's now free on Amazon Prime. You could watch it, and it's really great. It has so many amazing, huge names in the horror community, and it was a pleasure to be a part of it and advertise it today at the convention.
Now, let me ask you something. What is this movie? What is the premise of this movie?
The premise of the movie is that basically there's this family and they go on a vacation to a hotel, and the hotel basically gets kind of overrun and shut down and all the doors are locked, and there's this game going on behind the scenes that's on a streaming platform of players and killers that try to see, you know, who could kill the most amount of people in the hotel. And I'm one of the killers, which I was so happy to be a part of, because it's way more fun to be a killer than a victim. So I was lucky enough to do that as player three. And yeah, that's basically the premise.
Now let me ask you something. Are you what other movies have you been in, or what other movies are down the road for you?
So just what started me in acting, my start was definitely when I was younger in pageants. From doing pageantry, I started doing modeling, commercials, TV work. When I was younger, though, being on Toddlers and Tiaras was really fun. That was my first, like, huge filming, project that I did. And just being in front of the cameras, being on set, that was really fun for me. And then it led to do commercials and other big things. So, yeah, just then I met the Stream Fuzz on the Lens guys on a different set. And just through staying in touch, I was able to be a part of Stream.
Now, if people want to find out about you, they want to see you, they want to know what movies you are in, where can they reach you? What social media?
So, you can find me on Instagram, on TikTok. I love to post. And my username is Liana, L-I-A-N-A, P, just the middle initial P, and then my last name is Friedman. And so for most of my projects, before I got married, I'm using Paralia, but slowly but surely, the new last name is making an appearance, and it's easier to say.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. I wish you much success in your future, and just enjoy the rest of the convention.
Thank you so much. You too. I appreciate it.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From the Radio here at Long Island Convention of Horror. Back to you in the studio, Mark.
This is Michael Bell, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe, and I am here at CradleCom, and I am with It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From the Radio. I'm here live at Litch, Long Island's Convention of Horrors, and I'm here with, and very happy to be here with, Jamie Root, cinematographer, director, producer. And Jamie, how are you?
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Terrific. What's the project? Talk to us about Stream.
Awesome. Yeah, so Stream is a horror movie that we shot back during COVID in 2021, and it came out in theaters in 2024, and now it's free for viewers to watch on Amazon Prime currently. And we're the same team behind the same production team behind the Terrifier movies. Stream, we decided, we shot between Terrifier 1 and 2, right after Terrifier 2 wrapped, we started shooting Stream. So the special effects on Stream were done by Damien, the director for Terrifier, a special effects artist. And then Michael Levy's the director of Stream. But yeah, it's a cool concept. It's basically these killers get unleashed in this hotel, and their primary goal is to basically kill as many people in the most creative ways as possible. And the whole event is being live streamed to the dark web. So you have all these people watching the stream happening in real time and placing their bets on you know, who's going to win, who's going to survive, the most creative kills, and all these different people in these positions of power and these corporations are all involved. So it's definitely like, it's like a homage to the 80s slasher vibe, but while still maintaining that modern-day technology tone, if that makes sense.
This had to be hard shooting it when you guys shot it during that time.
Yeah. So during COVID, it was a really polarizing experience, I think, because we had, you know, some cast and crew who were more lackadaisical with the PPE and the masks, and sort of like, oh, whatever, we're quarantining here in the hotel anyways where we're shooting. And then you have the other half of that who were very much like, wanted to respect the wearing the mask and keeping the distance and everything. Shooting anyone that has shot a movie during COVID, I commend them, because it is a very challenging feat. And it definitely was a challenge for us too, but we overcame it, and I think Stream is something that we're all pretty proud of.
Jamie, I want you to introduce this very beautiful lady. She's an actress in the movie, and I want to talk to her about that.
Sure, yeah. So this is Allison. She was in Stream towards the end of the movie. And then also another movie that same production company worked on called Screamboat. She's the lead, the star of the movie Screamboat. So I will let you say hi to her now.
Allison, how are you? And how was it to work with this lady?
She's the best. I'm so good. And yeah, Jamie's awesome. She's definitely, she's a very strong female presence with a lot of experience and knowledge in a chaotic boys' room sometimes. And she keeps those guys in line. And she's definitely a fabulous director, fabulous cinematographer and writer. And she's working on her own stuff. And I'm so excited to see what is in store for her next.
Tell me about your part in this movie.
My part in this movie, so it is a, yes, towards the end of the film, and it's sort of a kind of a cliffhanger type scene. I play a running woman screaming and crying in terror as the killer comes and approaches. Bill Moseley's also involved in that, and Terry Kaiser, and who am I missing?
Tim Curry,
yes. So got to work with three legends in horror, and that was phenomenal. Yeah, this was a great time.
Well, I wish you both a lot of luck. Now, social media, where can people see you girls and see your products?
Yeah, so first thing they could do if they wanted to follow on Instagram or Facebook is look up Fuzz on the Lens Productions. So we're our Instagram, our social media, Facebook, Fuzz on the Lens Productions. And then my personal Instagram is at JFRoot. So JFruit, basically. You can find me there.
And you, young lady.
So it'd be my name, which is Allison with two L's, and my last name, which is P-I-T-T-E-L, Patel. And that's just my Instagram handle.
Well, beautiful. Thank you, ladies, for taking time talking with us. And we hope to see you guys in the future more and more and more. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From the Radio at Long Island Convention of Horror. Back to you in the studio, Mark.
I'm Elena Watko. I play Hyrel on Star Trek Discovery, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
You know you're listening to It Came From the Radio. If you don't, well, you do now. This is Jennifer Lee Spellman. I'm here with a very interesting guy, Dave Letterfly Noterer. Let's see if I can even say his name. So who is he? Well, I'm going to tell you who he is, and then we'll get to the interview. The career path of Dave Letterfly Noterer has been as diverse as the many creative offerings produced during four decades to an ever-increasing list of satisfied clients. Starting as an apprentice to the sign and design trade as a teenager, his appetite for the unusual and challenging led him to many sensational projects. A skilled painter, he designs large wall graphics and theater sets, themed interior and exterior murals in amusement parks and restaurants, crafted delicate gold leaf window treatments, and gilded ornamental on antique fire engines. When the computer took over the sign game, he established himself in the RV industry as the most prolific airbrush mural artist in the country, producing over 2,000 high-quality painted works on the exteriors of motorhomes that led to other even more spectacular projects, including the decoration of retail environments, residential murals, and delicate vehicular and motorcycle pinstriping portraits, imagery, and custom paint of all kinds. I don't know anyone who does what you do. Welcome to It Came From the Radio, Dave.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me here today.
Thank you. Quick question. Do you enjoy all the work that you do? Because you're doing a lot.
I certainly do. I'm a very, very creative person. And apparently creative people are just creative in all areas. And I'm the kind of guy, I wake up in the morning and I'm on and I'm ready. I just stay on all the time. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to say that. I mean, that would really suck if you didn't like doing this, because I went to American University. It was like my easy school. So my minor was art. So I spent a lot of time painting, studio art, painting and drawing. And when you don't want to paint, I mean, drawing is one thing. You can pick it up, you can put it down, you can, you know, you can go masturbate, you know, do whatever you want, you know, come back to it, whatever, I'm just saying. But when it comes to painting, it's a big commitment. It's a whole setup, sometimes like an hour setup, and then you got to put it down. And when you don't want to do it, which I didn't want to do my final project for studio art, that's a whole nother story. I did my whole entire final project in 24 hours. So, and I did not want to do it. And it sucks painting when you don't want to paint. So first question is, when you have to paint something, because you got all these clients all over the country, you're traveling all over the place, and you got to paint something. Is there any times that you didn't want to do it? And like, how did you deal with that?
Oh, you learn early on that that the mood that you're in's got nothing to do with whether you're going to be painting or not. Yeah, that's kind of a luxury of maybe a different kind of a person. But yeah, a dedicated person who's intensely creative. It's like I've got enthusiasm. You know, when somebody says, "Hey, would you paint Saint Francis of Assisi preaching to the birds on the back of my motorhome?" I'd go, yeah, that'd be fun. You know, where 8 out of 10 other artists would go, no, I couldn't possibly do something like that. So, it's just a challenge. It's another challenge. And what I've done with my entire lifetime is transformed challenges into opportunities.
Love that. Yeah. I love that. You know, one thing I do, just quick aside, and it's something that I talked about and I'm thinking about a lot the last month, is, you know, a lot of times people in your industry and mine, they'll give you offers. You'll get offers all the time. And sometimes offers are great, you know, acting in a movie or doing special effects or, you know, using my house's location, you know, who is it, the amount of money, whatever. And the offers are good. It's good. It's great. Let's do it. But I'd say at least 50% of the time, if not more, because now we have social media and everyone and their mother contacts you, you're going to get crazy offers. And what I've done is, if the offer is not good, then I will find a way to make it good. Or I'll do like some type of counter offer, and maybe I'll even ignore the original offer. I'll say, well, maybe not this, but how about this? So do you ever do any of that where you have to change things around and someone's asking you to do something that you don't really want to do, but you're like, how about I do this instead?
Well, typically what happens is people will come to me with either a clear idea about what it is that they want me to do, or they don't have a clear idea about what they want me to do, but they want me to do something. And then there are others that come to me and they have a bad idea about what they want me to do. And I discovered it's my responsibility to guide them over to something that's going to end up qualifying as a good thing to do. Because after all, my name goes on it.
Exactly. So I've already had a
whole bunch of different kinds of transactions like that. So yeah, definitely.
Have you ever had anyone that was a control freak and they were holding on to this horrible idea and you had to really maneuver that one?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've dealt with every kind of personality that there is. So I'm definitely, sure. Yeah. And so there are a lot. There, you know, it's just like with. There's a saying, you know, some people appreciate presence and other people appreciate when you're, you know, when you go away. You know, it's the same thing with all the different kinds of customers, the variety of people there are in the world. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And in my line of work, it requires me processing a never ending stream of new customers. So, yeah, I've had plenty of opportunity to. And that's kind of interesting. Typically, the artistic personality wants to be reclusive and withdrawn. And I've transformed that tendency into becoming a people person. One of the most gratifying parts of the job is the amount of satisfaction and like my customers get very, very happy with what it is that I do. And that provides fuel for me to continue and especially strive to do an even better job this time than I did last time. It's just because of the level of happiness I'm able to promote in my customer.
Right. So now when you're working with new people all the time, as I do, and you're working on new projects all the time and you're creating things that maybe never existed, you're inventing things, essentially, you have to, I think, you have to have the thought in your head, I can do this. This is going to happen. It's going to be worth my time before you make that investment into actually doing it. So, how did you originally have that self-belief and confidence in yourself that you'd be able to do even your first project?
Well, I think that it started with, even as a child, I was unstoppable. I grew up on a university campus, and the other sorority houses and the fraternity houses for homecoming every year, they would build a big display in their front yard. So as a six-year-old, I commandeered a large cardboard box and I took some crayons and I made my own display in our front yard. And then for every year, I would build an even more elaborate display. So by the time I was 10 years old, I had an electric motor and the darn thing was animated. And I had a theme and it was all. So I've always been creative and unstoppable. And then I became a drummer in high school and I got the brilliant idea that I should be playing the drums in the circus band, accenting the efforts of the performers and stuff. So at 16 years old, I spent the summer on the circus and it's like dominoes falling down my whole career. They're just yet another incredible thing to apply myself to. Yeah.
I mean, that's how my life has been. And I remember my mom at a younger age when I didn't exactly know what to do professionally. I always was active, like you, creating something always. I had sales, I had businesses, I had jewelry companies, magnet companies, all this stuff. But professionally, to make money, I didn't really know what to do. I remember one of my mom's piece of advice was just do something. Everything leads to something else. And just like you said, dominoes falling. You know, I had to pee and I went into a gym at Washington Sports Clubs, and I was not a trainer. I was training my boyfriend at Merrill Lynch, and a woman asked me to train her. But I went to pee, and I ended up becoming a trainer. I ended up teaching the main morning classes for 2.5 years and becoming a certified trainer and going on Fox News and a couple months later and all this stuff. So, you know, sometimes just one thing, Lisa, next, if you're open, you're involved, and I guess if you have somewhat of a good attitude and people don't hate you, you know, that happens. Yeah. You know, you seem like a very likable guy.
Yeah.
Now,
As far as likability,
you know, do you think that some of your success in being constantly employed has to do with people liking you or just liking your work?
Yeah, I think it's a combination because certainly the personality is what allows them to consider that, hey, this might be a guy that I'd like to have create something. And definitely. So, yeah, likability, being a people person. And what's interesting is as a child, I wasn't that interested in other people because of this line of work. It was necessary for me to become a people person. And today I've transformed. I've done a 180 from when I was a kid, you know, and I am genuinely interested in other people today.
Yeah, it seems like that. To get a little more into that, are there parts of your persona, your personality, the way of life that you had before you're working with all these different people as an entrepreneur that you had to put aside in order to work with the public as a businessman?
Yes, my personality and my embracing the personal aspect of the customer relation has just transformed me, because when I was a child, I was a little bit reluctant. But then because of the line of work and having to process so many customers, I've actually done a 180 and I've transformed from somebody who's reluctant into somebody who's genuinely interested in other people. And the way that I treat this, this responsibility I have with the talent that I've been blessed with is finding ways to be a blessing to other people.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. My dad said something along the lines of, you know, every room you walk into or everyone that you meet, they should feel thankful that they got to meet you. And that's kind of how you should live your life. So I try to walk into every room and at least try to make something better, even if it's picking off a piece of lint off the floor. Just do something, you know, because, you know, we're all humans and we're breathing and we're flushing toilets and we're using water. So we're all creating waste and pollution, no matter how good of a person you are. So therefore, I feel like to counteract it, the bare minimum is trying to contribute something to this society.
Yeah, definitely.
So now your work, what's one of the most interesting pieces of work that you've done to you?
One of the most, well, horses are my absolute favorite thing of all to paint.
Wow.
I love horses. Well, I've had horses for 30 years, so I just love horses. So there's actually a painting in my home. I had this idea of a yin-yang type of a design with a winged horse and a seahorse.
Oh.
So it's something that I started several years ago. It took several years to, and if you want to see it, I can show it to you, I think.
Sure. Let's see.
I can show it to you if I walk over here with the laptop. And can you see it maybe?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. You could even send a picture. We could put it at the bottom of the interview. Yeah, you know what? Send me a picture of that. I'll put that at the bottom of the interview. I'll link that. That's cool.
That was kind of a way cool thing to do. I was inspired. And, you know, sometimes I get an inspiration and it just doesn't go away. So I know act on it. And so that's how that painting got done. It got started. I got about 3/4 of the way through and then leaned it up somewhere and forgot about it for a couple of years. And then somebody gave me that beautiful frame. And then that prompted me to get it done. So that I put it in the frame. So, and the next thing you know, it's done. It's hanging on the wall.
That's cool. Now you're a bit of a character. You're interesting. You know, I like sketch comedy. I could see you being some character, or maybe I would draw on you for some of my personas. You ever do self-portraits or any acting?
Some acting?
Or self-portraits of yourself? Anything featuring yourself in your work?
Well, memoirs. I've been writing. Yes. I'm an author. I'm also
yes,
an
you have
author.
Three. Memoirs,
I got three
right?
memoirs written. I'm working on three more. And
yeah, let's hear about that.
I've become quite a storyteller. Well, I've actually had quite an interesting life.
Mm-hmm.
And it started around the circus, and then I became fascinated with not only horses, but especially sign painting. And then I've had to evolve as the years. It seems like every decade I had to evolve into something else, and so mm-hmm. and it's all been super interesting, and I have a passion for, you know, all of those things, I guess, that are disappearing, you know, the crafts type and then the classic horsemanship and a lot of things that have been a big part of civilization and mankind and all that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. so I just have a passion. And so now I'm taking all of that interesting information that I've accumulated during my whole life, plus the way that I accumulated that, and I'm putting it into the form of stories with an underlying theme, because the end result of me going through all of this stuff was it made me a better person. And so now I'm writing books, and the motive is to make it so that the reader is inspired and they benefit from what the theme of each one of the books are.
Mm-hmm. But now, as someone who's continue.
It's like that. The book I've written a book. It's called Kinker, Circusing the 70s, and it's about a 10-year period that started when I was a teenager, and it goes on to about a 10-year period, and it was pretty much all about my life with the circus, all that chaos and turbulence and excitement and adventure and all of the aspects of the circus back in the 1970s that are pretty much gone today. Mm-hmm. And there's an underlying theme. Because as a child, I had this feeling like maybe I didn't quite belong anywhere. And then, so this is like the underlying theme. And then the payoff at the conclusion of the book has to do with discovering that, yes, indeed, I do belong. And not right. only do I belong, but I belong in a big way. So, and, which is hopefully to inspire the reader, too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a great feeling, because, you know, I'll be 42 soon, which I see as very young. You know, my mm-hmm. view of 42 is like you might as well be 10 years old. But looking back, I was thinking about this earlier of my high school years. I was just like, my senior year, I was ready to give up. And I was just like, So it's very easy to feel that way as a kid. So it is really important for readers, listeners, people to have examples like you and me and everyone to share how maybe their paths turned out in a way where you're like, oh, this is where I belong. This makes sense.
Yeah.
This isn't all a waste of time, you know?
Yep. And all of those things I went through were all designed for an even higher purpose mm-hmm. than simply being like inconvenient or something that I didn't like. No, it was designed for my growth. My personal growth occurred as the result of going through all of those things. So then all of a sudden, we can become grateful for everything right. we've gone through during our life.
I feel the same way, and that you actually set yourself up perfectly for my final question, which was going to be, do you believe in God or destiny or fate or things that are meant to be in 2 minutes or less?
Yeah, definitely. It's really interesting. My daddy was a preacher.
Okay.
And I didn't want to have anything to do with the church when I was a kid, because they mm-hmm. were all I guess I was sensitive and I noticed things and stuff. So it wasn't until I was introduced to a practical relationship with God through the Recovery Fellowship of AA, and that's where I was introduced to, I guess I would be more of a metaphysical thinker than a religion type guy. I'm more of I have a personal spiritual relationship with a higher power today that has given me a design for living my life that I really enjoy today. So yeah, hopefully that was a good answer to that question. But I sure do. And what has happened as the years have gone by, that relationship has become more and more important to me.
That's really cool. Are your memoirs able to be listened to, or do we have to read them? Do you have any books on tape?
Not yet, but that's one of my ambitions, is to make all of my books into audiobooks. Yeah, and people tell me I'm really good at it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should do it as your own voice.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need someone else to narrate your story. Why don't you tell your own story?
That's right. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, you can pop your peas, or I don't know. I mean, obviously you want to have high quality recording, but I think just the way you're doing it right now informally is great. But who cares?
Good.
I'm not, you know. Anyway, we're at the end of the interview. Thank you very much. Good luck with everything. Much more to say, but we got to end it. So please tell listeners where to find you, website, anything else you want to say.
Oh, it's real easy to find me. You just go to letterfly.com. That's letterfly.com.
Beautiful. Well, I'd love to have you back on, and good luck with all your travels, and watch out for the crazies on the road while you're traveling doing all this art.
Yeah.
And best of luck, and hope to speak to you, you know, sometime again in 2026, 2027.
Good.
And on note,
good. Well, thank you. I enjoyed
it. Thank you. That very good. I don't like to torture the guests. I'm not a sadist. I'm not a sadist, and I always worry that I'm going to torture the guests, so I'm glad I didn't torture you. And on that note, we're going to go back to the studio with Mark Torres for more It Came From the Radio.
If you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us right here any week on this radio station. If you miss any part of this show,
tough,
go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From the Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.